Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 2 a.m. Here on the Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join the conversation. Few things I want to hit on here. Number one, you could say the Knicks are going to win this series. You could be pessimistic and say, I think the Spurs are going to win the series. And we're going to find out who's right. Nothing is for certain. I could say the Knicks are going to win in five. Doesn't mean it's for certain. I feel great about that prediction. Really great. Confident. Might sound cocky, but I believe in this team. And I believe that the inexperience of the Spurs will be their downfall along with their lack of depth. And they don't have championship DNA. They'll win championships, but they're not ready to go. This is not their time. It's the Knicks' time. And the Knicks also have guys that can limit Wemby and also get him in foul trouble and exploit him with, you know, guys like Anunoby offensively, Karl Anthony Towns offensively, OG defensively, Mitchell Robinson defensively, guys that can frustrate Wemby. But one thing I know for certain is Jeremy Sochan's getting a ring because he was on the Spurs this year and he's on the Knicks, so he's getting a ring either way, which is a good spot to be in. Either way, he's probably sitting back going, I'd prefer the Knicks because I'm technically on their team, but I'm going to get a ring either way. Now, this has happened. I asked Grok this. Grok can't steer me wrong. I think it's happened like three other times. And it is up to the Spurs whether or not that he gets a ring. I'm sure they won't care. They're not getting one anyway, so he's getting one with the Knicks. But But if the Spurs win the series, I'm sure they'll give him one. That's a unique position to be. It's only happened a couple times in the league. So that's something to point out. Another one is they have released the courts, or at least images of what the courts are going to look like. And it's for the Knicks, for Madison Square Garden. It's going to be the Larry O'Brien trophy in the middle with the Knicks logo. I mean, it's almost surreal that I'm looking at this picture right now. And it's all over the internet if you want to check it out. It's the Knicks logo and the Larry O'Brien trophy. And there's finals, the NBA finals. Like, this is surreal. This is emotional. And you're seeing the Spurs. This is literally like flashbacks. But to see that, and this is just on the internet. This is just on my computer. This is just on my phone. This is just a mock-up of what it's going to look like. Imagine what it's going to look like on television. To see that trophy and the Knicks logo. To see finals, NBA finals, on the Madison Square Garden court. Think about how that's going to look on television. Think about how that's going to look at Madison Square Garden if you are one of the fortunate ones to be inside the building. And I know it's not for everybody. I know that the prices are pretty steep, to say the least. And not everybody can afford that. Or not everybody that, you know, you could afford it, but you're going to say, you know what? I'd rather invest in something else and spend my money somewhere else, take the family on vacation, but I'm going to be so locked in and so dialed in on the couch, or I'm going to go to a watch party, or I'm going to go wherever to enjoy this. Because it's going to be just widespread here in terms of parties, in terms of the bars, in terms of people having friends over and family over because of the weight and just the love affair that we, the city, have for this team. The Knicks unite New York City. They are New York City's team. They play in a building that is in the middle of the greatest city in the world. There's nothing like Knick playoff basketball. There's nothing like the Knicks when they are not just good, great, and have a chance to win a championship. That's when it's at its height. and the buzz around this city, because you get the celebrities, you get the pageantry, you get all the bells and whistles, you get everything that Madison Square Garden and the big moments, including the high ticket prices, but you get everything that, that comes with that. And what makes the Knicks and this fan base and everything that goes into it so lovable, but also on the flip side is why a lot of people hate the Knicks and they hate us as fans. They hate the screaming and yelling outside the game after wins. They hate the celebrations. They hate the electricity. They hate the bravado. They hate the cockiness, the confidence. They hate it. That's why they are a coalition of Knick haters. And you know the names. They are chewing off their fingernails, chewing off their toenails right now, and will be glued to the television set, hoping and praying and wishing that the Knicks fall flat on their face. So not only they fall flat on their face, but we as fans fall flat on our face. I eat my words. Other Knick fans eat their words. Craig eats his words. Gio eats his words. McMonagle eats his words. Al Cintron eats his words. Positive Tommy eats his words. Boomer eats his words. And the Knick contingent here at the radio station would end up looking like fools. False bravado. Oh, you had an easy road, but when you played a real team, midnight struck. Well, good luck with all that. Because this Knick team, number one, is built different. This Knick team is a team of destiny. This Knick team has played better basketball than anybody in the playoffs so far. They are well-rested. They are fully healthy. They are battle-tested. They have all the ingredients to win a championship. Star power, chemistry, experience, continuity. They play great defense. They hit the three. They have great two-way players. So they could get after it both defensively and offensively. They have size. They have depth. There's a reason why they're here. And if you haven't figured that part out, you're about to find out. Because this is the grandest stage. This is the biggest stage. This is the NBA Finals. And that's why when I look at this court and I see Finals, a Larry O'Brien trophy, and the Knicks logo, you get emotional. And I don't mean necessarily that you want to cry, but you just get emotional. You just want to scream and yell and have the passion because of what that means and what this court symbolizes. It means the Knicks are in the final two teams. It means they have made it to the finals. They have made it to the championship round. They have an opportunity. They are four wins away from immortality, 4 wins away from a championship, 4 wins away from breaking 50 plus years. So the drought would be over, and this team, led by Jalen Brunson, would be forever etched in stone as champions and legends in this town. And boy, is this a far cry from those monstrosities for the NBA Cup in terms of the court. Speaking of the NBA Cup, it's a side note, but when the Knicks win a championship, that NBA Cup banner's going up there too. Just, that's a fun. You know, Adam Silver's giddy. Not only does he get a Knick championship in his best market, but his play-in tournament, that is whatever, great, fine, cool, especially when the Knicks win it. But he's going to have the Knicks honor that because they're going to put the NBA Cup banner up. That's going to be hilarious. The championship banner and then the... But why not? It was especially when you consider that they beat the Spurs for the NBA Cup. Like, how do you not put the banner up there? And I know Dolan talked about that as far as putting the banner up, you know, if you win the championship. That makes sense. And I applauded the Knicks for not putting that bad boy up there. Good on them. But if you win the championship and you beat the team you beat in the NBA Cup, absolutely, throw it up there. It was part of the stepping stone. And if you think about it, that was kind of the point where they started playing bad basketball. So it's part of the story. And I don't think winning the NBA Cup had anything to do with the bad basketball that the team played for a stretch there, which really, you know, came to a head on Martin Luther King Day when they lost to a horrible Mavs team at the Garden and were booed off the court. They had the team meeting. Then they had the get right game against the Nets, and then the Knicks themselves went on a nice long winning streak. I don't think that NBA Cup or the push to the cup had anything to do with the bad basketball. I just think a couple, you know, Hart was hurt, and sometimes you just have bad stretches. You know, it's a long season, and it's a team that was clearly saving their best for last, which was the playoffs. They were saving their best punch for last, which we're getting now. And when you have been through the wars and you've been through seasons and playoff runs and deep runs like the Knicks have been on, especially last year when they were only a couple of games away from getting to the finals, yeah, you're going to have your moments in the regular season that are less than stellar and less than top of the line.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I never feared anybody. I never, even at their lowest moment, was looking at anybody in the East going, oh boy, the Celtics. I told you that all year long. If you listen to me for 1 minute or if you listen to me for 50 minutes, I repeatedly said that the Celtics would have not stood a chance against the Knicks. The Knicks matched up really well against them. I wish we got that opportunity just to shut everybody in Boston up, but okay, that's fine. And we took a call, and Detroit too, the Knicks would have waxed them. Those regular season matchups, irrelevant. And they had no carryover, in my opinion, would have had any carryover into the playoffs. We took a caller in the last segment, Roscoe in Brooklyn, who brought up something that, yeah, you'll probably hear, although they're playing the Spurs now, so you'll hear less of it. But the idea that, oh, the run was easy. So what? Let people say whatever they want to say. I just wanted to shut the Celtic fans up, but I'm not sitting here going, oh man, you know, it doesn't count because they beat the Sixers. Great. We rendered Philly a non-sports town. We beat them so bad that their fans basically waved the white flag, didn't show up, and the Sixers quit. Doesn't get much better than that. Oh wait, it did, because then they took the same intensity to the Cavs and made them quit. And now, the finals. A series where I think the Knicks make short work of San Antonio. I firmly believe they will win this series, the Knicks will, in five. They are a buzzsaw. They are a runaway train. I think they match up great with San Antonio. I think the Spurs are ahead of schedule, credit to them, but they haven't gone through the necessary steps in their training to really seize this moment, to capture this moment, to capture a ring, to capture a title. They'll have their time, and their time will be long, and it will be dominant, but it's not now. It's not. Their inexperience will come back to haunt them. This is a much different stage than anything they've seen, including the NBA Cup or the Western Conference Finals, as great as an opponent as they saw in the Thunder, albeit banged up. That is not the finals. That is not the Knicks. That is not Jalen Brunson. That is not Karl Anthony Towns. That is not going to be what they see in this series. A team that is ready, a team where, it's the Knicks' time. And that is absolutely a thing in sports. Timing. Now, it's up to the group of individuals, and I believe the Knicks are that type of group of individuals. It's up to those individuals to take advantage of that time. There have been, whatever the sport may be, where it was their time, this team's time, but they still blew it. I don't think the Knicks will do that. They understand what's on the line. They understand in the back of their minds, I'm sure, hey, this might be the best chance. This might be our only chance. Because who knows what's waiting next year and the year after. And it's not a given that we're going to see this again. The finals or an 11-game playoff winning streak or this brand of dominant basketball where there is no dents in their armor. There are no weak spots in their armor. There is no slowing down in sight. The rest that they have is so critical for them. Much like Cleveland, who played back-to-back 7-game series, they, in addition to being spineless, gutless, heartless, sports losers, they were also, a tired team. And when you have a tired team, you can break them mentally and break their will and break their spirit. And that's exactly what the Knicks did. Well, now San Antonio off of a 7-game series, as young as they are, and youth helps in this spot because you figure you won't have as much tired legs. That being said, at some point, when you play a 7-game series like San Antonio just did, it's going to wear on you. And the emotion that the Spurs players let out at the end of that game, that felt like a team to me. When you let out that kind of emotion, that was it. You showed the emotion, you won Game 7, you beat the Thunder, you fought back from 3-2, you planted the flag in OKC, which is a very difficult place to play, and the Thunder having lost, back-to-back playoff games in forever, there were so many statistics going against San Antonio heading into that Game 7. But the Spurs, based on sheer talent and athleticism, were able to overcome all that stuff and sheer will to where the Thunder quit, especially Holmgren. Now I think it'll be the reverse. Now I think it's the Knicks that will force that on the Spurs and mentally just wear them down in this series because the Knicks are so mentally tough because of all of the playoff scars and the playoff heartbreak and the playoff losses and series losses and disappointment and climbing that ladder only to get close to the top but then be knocked down again. And to come together as a team and deal with the Giannis talk and deal with the media and the fans and all the expectations and all the boos that they received this year and all of that stuff. They have been able to, with a new head coach, band together, will together, connect as one, and become just a machine on both ends of the floor. And a team that I don't think has any sign of slowing down and will slow down. I expect some rust in game one, but they will quickly knock that rust off. Plus, they know what they did in Game 1 against Cleveland. And they're doing everything in their power since they knocked out Cleveland to avoid that. Because if they do go down 22, they're going to have a very difficult time, pretty much next to no shot of coming back against the Spurs. You're not coming back against basically anybody except for the gutless, heartless losers that are the Cleveland Cavs. Like they were as much a part of that as the Knicks were, if we're being completely and totally honest and fair about it. As great as Brunson was, as great as Shamet was, as great as Bridges was, equally bad Kenny Atkinson, who was lost out to lunch. The sports loser, James Harden, who was put in a bad position on defense. As bad as much of a playoff loser as he is, he shouldn't have been guarding Jalen Brunson. He had no shot. You know, the Spurs are not going to put their worst defender, basically, on Brunson up 22. They're not going to blow a lead like that. They play too good a defense. So that's on the Knicks to not, be down 22 points, which I don't think they will be. I expect them to, at times, dominate this series. And it will certainly look dominating. You know, in 99, the Spurs won in 5 games. So to me, it's poetic justice that the Knicks return the favor. I like the narrative of that. I like the idea of doing that to a franchise that did it to us. And I'm also just overly confident in this Knicks team and the advantages that they hold in this series. And we've seen it play out when they've met in the regular season. You want to throw that away? I'm not going to. I mean, they dismantled. When the Spurs were the hottest team in basketball, they walked into Madison Square Garden and the Knicks dismantled them. Dismantled them. Literally ran them out of the gym. Playing the same, at that on that day, the Knicks played the same exact way they've been playing in this playoff series. Excuse me, in this playoff run here over the last 11 games. So at the Knicks, at their height of their power, they smashed the Spurs. Just like they smashed the Hawks, just like they smashed the Sixers, just like they smashed the Cavs. The Spurs are not unbeatable. They're not invincible. If anything, I think they have weaknesses that can be, for sure, taken advantage of by the Knicks. And youth and not having that experience, which the Knicks have in spades, not only together, collectively, which is the most important thing. Like, together, these guys have played with each other on a court here as far as teammates, trying to win a championship, falling short. And then you have guys like Bridges who made the finals on another team. You have guys like Carl Anthony Towns who made a Western Conference Finals in Minnesota. That's a lot of experience. Mike Brown has finals experience. Like, so this team has all the experience and the grit and the heart. It's going to be too much for San Antonio. A team that will likely be a dynasty down the road, but this will be too much for them. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you want to talk Knicks, you want to join the conversation on that. We'll get into Jalen Brunson's legacy and what this would mean for him. If he wins a championship, we'll mix in the Mets. We'll mix in the Yankees throughout the show. Later on, we will get into what is going to take place this afternoon, and that is Odell Beckham Jr. working out with the Giants and what that could mean for a possible reunion with Big Blue and OBJ. The phone number to call, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Lugie and the Late Night here on The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
228 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. Got you for another 2.5 till 5 a.m. Al and Jerry come your way at that time on the warm-up show as we inch closer and closer to Game 1 of the NBA Finals in San Antonio. That will be Wednesday night, right around, I'd say 8:40, the game will tip. I will have you here on After Hours. The Yankees are playing, I believe, Cleveland this week. So once that game ends, the post game wraps, I will be on the air in all likelihood before the game ends. So I'll be twisting and turning here watching the game with all of you. And then we'll obviously have a live reaction. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for all the buildup here for game one. And I really just can't wait for that ball to get thrown up in the air. And we are underway in what is going to be a very highly anticipated NBA Finals. I think it's going to be a very highly viewed NBA Finals. We know the ticket prices, the excitement. You have New York City. You have the drought of 50-plus years. You have Wemby, who is the future face of this league, or certainly the league hopes that's the case. You have a Spurs team that I think is going to win championships, just not this year, but they're going to win championships. The Knicks are catching them at a great time. And the Knicks, you know, match up really well with him. I think Anunoby will, you know, break Wemby in half at times with the physicality and the way that he can be, you know, our version of Kawhi in his prime. And I think that's going to give Wemby and has given Wemby all kinds of problems. Jalen Brunson. When Jalen Brunson was brought here, and I was a part of this, I was skeptical of the signing. You know, I didn't think he was a superstar player. I wanted a star here. And Jalen Brunson obviously has blossomed into that. But at the time, I didn't think he was that star that this team was so thirsty for years and years and years and years. Like, That's what you feel like you need to win in the league. I need a star, then I need another star, then I need another star, and I just need a bunch of stars. And then we could build a team around those stars. So Jalen Brunson, good, but not the star that I was envisioning as being the first real big piece in the Leon Rose era of Knicks basketball. But then Jalen Brunson put the uniform on, and everything changed immediately. You know, the vibe of this team, the toughness of this team, and what Brunson brings, not only in leadership, but also in clutchness. You know, he's obviously not going to overwhelm you as far as his size. He's not going to overwhelm you with his defense, but his footwork is immaculate. His clutch shooting is immaculate. His ability to just score points in bunches and bunches is incredible. His leadership, obviously, as the captain, is through the roof. And I think his love affair for not only this team, but this city really comes through. And that's why he performs at the levels that he performs. You know, it's family. It's in his blood. It's in his veins. It's in his DNA. A team that his dad played for. His dad being on the team that went to the finals. Now Jalen's on a team that goes to the finals. Obviously different roles and different level of player. They both would tell you that. And now with Rick on the coaching staff. It's family. It's also destiny. And Jalen Brunson was the start of all of this. And then you got all these other players to be built around him. But without Jalen, there's no Knicks in the finals here. They're not the team that they are without him. And you start to think about legacy. You start to think about where he stands, not only with current New York athletes, which he is, in fact, the king of New York. You get the Knicks to the finals here. We'll see what Aaron Judge has in response to this. But to me right now, win or lose, and they're going to win. But the Knicks are in the finals, and that to me is Jalen Brunson as king of New York. And then you think about where he would be at as far as all-time Knick players. Right now, I keep going back on this. I have him at five all-time. I wouldn't argue with you strongly, especially now that he's in the finals, if you want to put him at four. Obviously, Willis. Obviously, Clyde. Obviously, Patrick on the Mount Rushmore. I think if you had DeBuscher or Earl Monroe on there and you didn't want to put Jalen on there for now, I'm not going to argue with you. He wins a championship. He's obviously there. He's ahead of Patrick. He's a top three Knick of all time. If he wins a championship. But I have Patrick ahead of him now because he did, even though he got hurt, you know, on the road to it, but he, two finals, great player on both ends of the floor. Different era, too, in terms of, like, offense. So, yeah, Brunson has these explosive games where he scores a million points, but the league is different, the scoring is different, the three-point shot is just completely changed the way games are played. You have more teams scoring 140 points and blowouts, and there are teams that take nights off and are tanking and losing on purpose and just don't care and whatever the case may be. So you could take advantage of that and you could have inflated numbers. So I tried to be fair in comparing eras and comparing generations. And obviously Patrick Ewing to be the tremendous defensive player and shot blocker that he was. Jalen, we know, is not a great defensive player. Patrick was. But in just a couple of short years, for Jalen Brunson to be where he is, not only in the finals, but to be on the list of all-time great Knicks and where he is slotted. Some would have him four. Some might even have him three. But the fact that he is even in that conversation, and if he wins the whole thing to be third all-time as a Knick, you know how we look at Willis and how we think about him and we think about, obviously, Clyde. And people think about Pearl and think about DeBuscher. Think about guys that have won championships. You are just in a different category. You are in a different class. You are immortalized. You are a legend. You are not just a king of New York. But you are a living, breathing, walking legend and someone that will be idolized. And someone who will be immortalized, and someone who will be just, you know, people will name their kids Jalen. They'll name their kids Brunson. You know the deal. They'll get tattoos of him. He'll be forever in the hearts and minds of this city. His teammates as well, but Jalen, this is his team. This is his moment, and this is his legacy. And he'll be the first guy to tell you it's not, but he's just being humble and he's being modest, which is a part of his greatness. And a part of why a lot of people probably doubted him in the first place, because you don't always see that. You see it on the court, but there isn't always that killer instinct in terms of the personality and certainly the size and all that stuff. But when you watch him day in and day out and you see what he can do on a basketball court and you see what he did with this franchise and turning it completely around, you understand the greatness and you understand why Leon Rose did what he did, because this was Leon's major move that got this franchise headed in the right direction and got them now 4 wins away from a championship. But Jalen Brunson has an opportunity to be a top 3 Knick of all time and be there pretty much for a very long time. That is rarefied air. That is incredible company to keep. And for this generation, because, you know, there's plenty of people, oh, I didn't see this guy, I didn't see that guy. There's plenty of people that haven't won as the greatest of all time. You have to be fair to... And you have to talk to somebody that saw everybody, or is a history of the game, or is not a prisoner of the moment, or only says, hey, the era I watch is the best, and this is the best guy, and forget it, and this guy, he's the best. Look, I think top 3 all time, when you consider a list with Reed and Frazier, that's a hell of a list to be, and a hell of a great names to be even associated with. And again, Jalen Brunson would be the first person to tell you that. He would tell you he's not on the list, but he's wrong. But you know, deep down, I think that's part of to have that fire burning in the belly. Because he is a guy that's been undersized, and I'm sure he's been told that his whole entire life. And I've said the gatekeepers of the NBA don't want to let him in the club. They don't want to open up and have to talk about Jalen Brunson as a superstar. They don't want to talk about the Knicks as a championship team. They don't want to do that. They want to anoint and crown Wemby as the guy. You know, the national media, that's their golden boy. That is the man, and rightfully so. I understand it. You know, Wemby is going to be a force in this league for a very, very, very long time. But he's going to get humbled in this series. OG Anunoby at times will break him. Physically and then mentally. And the youth will show up in a bad way. And the inexperience, more specifically, will haunt the Spurs. Haunt them. Now, as far as Julian Champagne, who's a... local guy, Staten Island, Shaolin land, went to St. John's. Now, Julian had a comment after Game 7, because this is a topic now. Anytime you are a team that's going to face the Knicks in the playoffs, the idea of the Knick fans invading your building, that is a major, major topic. We saw what the fans did to the city of Philadelphia, the invasion rendering Philly a non-sports town. They brought the city of Philadelphia Knick fans to their knees. That's what they did. And anytime a team is, and also when you consider ticket prices at Madison Square Garden that are only going to be higher and higher and higher as this series goes on, and are obviously higher than they were in the last couple rounds, it entices Knick fans to get on a plane and fly to San Antonio, because flight, rent a car, hotel, Ubers, food, booze if you partake, tickets for the game, memorabilia, all of that, if you go to San Antonio as a Knick fan, will cost you less than it would if you went to a game in Madison Square Garden. Less. So you wouldn't blame anybody for taking advantage of that if they have the opportunity to take off from work or they're retired or whatever the case may be. And they have the disposable income, because it's not cheap. It's still going to cost you money, but it's going to cost you less, obviously, than Madison Square Garden. So Julian Champagne, who, again, local guy, Staten Island, Shaolin land, St. John's, he was asked about Knick fans traveling. And he said, quote, "We're not too worried about their fans. I'm 100% sure that the same way Knicks fans will travel, San Antonio fans will travel. Bro. Okay. Newsflash. And you know this. You have to know this. Unless you are a Spurs fan in the tri-state area, which I'm sure there are some, and even still, it's expensive. There is no chance. What would be the reasoning? You are not, if you live in San Antonio, if you live in Texas, or you're a Spurs fan and you're not around here, there is no way you are going to drop $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to go to Madison Square Garden, and you have to fly into New York, which is expensive. You got to stay here in New York, which is expensive. You got to operate here in New York, which is expensive. Are you kidding me? Come on. You won't find a Spurs fan at Madison Square Garden. Certainly not one from San Antonio. If there's one from Massapequa, they might be there. But not from San Antonio. That trip will be ungodly expensive. And if you have that type of scratch, if you have that type of money, if you have that type of cash, you'll just go to the games in Texas. You're not going to fly almost across the country and pay New York prices everywhere, including hotels. You want to stay in the city for a couple nights? Sure, it only costs you about $1,000, maybe more. Not cheap and not happening. So I don't expect any Spurs fans, certainly ones that are outside of this market, to be attending these games. I do expect Knicks fans to, because financially it makes sense. Because we live in New York City. We live in one of the most expensive areas to live in the world. So when you have major events like the NBA Finals, the World Cup, which are going to intersect here, which is just going to be nuts. And I'm here for it, but it's going to be crazy. When you have major events in New York, they are going to cost a ton of money. You know, get-in prices, hotels, Ubers, rent-a-cars, all that stuff. So it's not just the ticket price if you're coming out of town. It's all of that stuff. You're telling me somebody from... And like I said, it's not to say that they... If they have that kind of money, then why wouldn't they just stay home? I would. Wouldn't anybody? Why would you pay more money if you could pay less money and just stay local? Okay, it's a chance to see New York City. Fine. But you can come and see New York City anytime. And you don't have to pay $5,000 a pop to get into a basketball game. I would be, just like I'd be floored if Mitchell Robinson doesn't play. If Mitchell Robinson misses any games in this series, I'd be floored for the pinky. Be stunned. I'd be equally as stunned if there are some type of spur invasion at the Garden. Where? New York to San Antonio, Knicks fans to the Spurs building. Yes, that makes sense because the finances add up. It's cheaper to go there. Whereas you can do everything plus the tickets, go to Texas, and you're still spending less than you are to go to the Garden. Because it's the world's most famous arena. It's in the middle of the greatest city in the world. It's Madison Square Garden. You're going to have to drop a ton of money. So with all due respect, you're a local dude, Staten Island, St. John. So this is just not, I just think you're misguided on this one. I would be, and you have great fans. It's nothing against your fans. I do think you have great fans. It's a great arena. It's obviously a championship, but DNA. It's they've won a million titles. They're going to win probably a million titles with this group, but I don't see their fans traveling for this one. And it goes into what I talked about before. If you are a Spur fan, you have obviously seen a lot of championships. You don't have to be that old to have watched Robinson and Duncan, Ginobili and Parker and Kawhi. So you're not starved for this. Your thirst for this isn't at the level where you need it to be quenched, otherwise you're going to pass out. That's not the mentality of a Spur fan. I'm sure they're excited. I'm sure they want every piece of the Knicks. They're already chanting, "We want Brunson." Okay, be careful what you wish for. That will ultimately bite you in the ass. Whenever you do the "we want this team," that never goes well. But if you're a Spur fan and you're looking at this group and you see star players that are young, led by Wemby, and we're talking 23 and under, Castle, Harper. I mean, Dylan Harper's not even drinking age. He was just at Rutgers about 6 months ago, feels like. He's 20 years old. It's going to be great, but he's super young. If you're a Spurs fan, you're looking at this team and going, if I don't go this year, yeah, I'll go then when they're in the finals next year, or the year after, or the year after that. But if you're a Knicks fan and you understand that this could be it, this could be your one and only shot, you've waited 27 years, you've waited, if you've been alive the entire time, 50 plus for a championship, you are going to pull out all the stops. Same thing with the team. And I just think the fans and the players are going to want this more than the Spurs players and the Spurs fans. Because everything is on the line for the Knicks and their fans. Everything. You can't lose. Losing is not an option. It's not. It's an option with the Spurs. They'll be back. They'll be back. Especially in basketball, where perhaps more than any other sport, if you have the guy, the star of stars, you're going to the finals. You're going to win a championship. You could have a great player in baseball. We've seen this with Aaron Judge. It doesn't equal winning a championship. You could have Miles Garrett, and the Browns never make the playoffs. You have Wemby, barring anything crazy health-wise, injury-wise, you're going. Especially when you consider the team they have around him. But when you're the Knicks and you are primed here and ready and a team of destiny, this is the time to take that opportunity, whether it's the players or whether it's the fans. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join the conversation. We'll mix in some baseball throughout here, some Mets, some Yankees, and Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have another workout with the Giants coming up later today. But it's all Knicks here for the first couple hours of the show as we move closer to game one of the NBA Finals. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn.
Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, Stuart, what's happening?
At least we have the Knicks, and you're right, they got to win. If not this year, when? And is the same group going to be back next year? And well, Mike Brown's job should be secure.
It should be. But there were reports, Stuart, before the playoffs started or right when they started, that Mike Brown could be out even if the team makes the finals. I wouldn't put anything past them, but logic would tell that Mike Brown is safe.
Yeah, that's not Leon Rose. That's the owner.
Well, it doesn't matter who it is. If the decision comes,
it doesn't matter,
you know what I mean? If they make that call, they make that call. I just, even if they got swept, and they're not going to get swept, I think they're winning the series in five. I don't see a scenario or world where Mike Brown gets fired. I think the roster, they run it back because, you know what? Hey, this team made the finals. If they had lost before this round, certainly heads would have rolled. They would have made major roster changes, in my opinion.
Right.
But now they're in a position, Stewie, where I think they run this back no matter what. But I do think they win the championship, so it would ultimately end up being moot.
Look, Tommy, I saw both of them. I saw 70 and 73, and 70 was magnificent with Clyde in game seven.
Yep.
36
historical.
And 19.
Yep. Legendary.
It was historical.
Yep, legendary.
And the way Willis Reed came out,
one of the great moments in the history of New York sports. And that's the type of stuff that you remember forever. That's why I brought it up with Brunson. Like, if he has a moment here, they win a championship. That's the stuff that you'll be talking
about. Number three in the
Pantheon. Yeah, not only number three, Stewie. Not only number three, Stewie, but it's something that you call up Sports Talk Radio for years and years to come and talk about. Hey, remember that Brunson moment in whatever, game three?
But Willis and Clyde have two.
Correct. Oh, yeah, he's not passing them. He's three.
He goes
passing
to number
Patrick.
Three.
Yeah, he passes the Bush, he passes Patrick, he passes Earl Monroe. Yeah, he's three. And he is comfortably a three. Like, there's nobody even pushing him for three. But, yeah, in order to pass Clyde and to pass Willis Reed, and
he
have to win.
He has to be a three.
Correct.
He has to be a three.
At least has to get two.
Right.
Yep, 100%.
You know, it's like, Tommy, we are so starved for something, a chip from anybody. than any team.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's a good way to put it. You know, in a lot of ways, the Knicks are carrying the banner here. For I mean, obviously, the Mets made the NLCS, and the Yankees made the World Series a couple years ago. Yeah, and the Yankees could easily make the World Series again and all that stuff. But when you talk about, yeah, the idea of a championship and the idea of the four major sports and the idea of a parade, yes, the Knicks right now are carrying that for this city. And I think that's why the parade will be just through the roof. Because you're right. It's not just Knicks fans. It's just New Yorkers starving
it's
for
New
the
New Yorkers
moment.
Who want to see something spectacular. That would be spectacular. And they would be celebrated for months on end. Mm-hmm. And it's like we have to have something to root for. I mean, really, it's been too long, way too long.
Well, it's way too long for them. I mean, obviously, like I said, the Yankees are just in the World Series. But I hear what you're saying, where it's a team with all this momentum, where you feel like, hey, they have a great opportunity to win a championship. And it is a basketball team that unifies the city, let's be real. Most people are Knicks fans, or if they're not a basketball fan, they're going to side with the Knicks, let's be real. So it's really that one city, one team that unifies New York, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, that we've been waiting too long. And the thing is, 99 was the end of Patrick's, almost the end of Patrick's run.
Yeah, yep.
And in 94, Mr. Riley, who I met in 91, had removed George Starks.
Well, they blew the series. They blew the series, what? For sure. They blew that series. They should have won that. We could sit here and say, hey, maybe they had a shot. Maybe they didn't against the Spurs. In all likelihood, they didn't, especially with Ewing's injury.
No, they didn't have a shot against the Spurs.
But the Rockets, they had that series won. And they blew it. And it's one of those things, Stuart, that not only haunts Pat Riley, it haunts us as Knicks fans. It haunts Starks. It haunts Ewing. It haunts everybody. And it's a franchise that has not been able to get over that loss. That loss still sticks and haunts the dreams and the, when you're not dreaming and you're just awake, that loss, that series, when it was right there for them. And they blew it. And they've never been able, the Knicks have, to recover from that fully. And we could talk about the parallels, of course, to 99, but you could certainly go back to that series, obviously, and say, hey, they lost that as well. There's a lot of scars and a lot of skeletons from that one as well, of course. Yes. That we all feel. I was a little bit younger for that one, but I was fully aware of what was going on and fully locked in and watching. And then, of course, in 99, as a teenager, that was really those formative years when you are just, hey, I'm going to win a championship here as a fan. No, I'm not. But I'll be back. They've been good my whole life, pretty much, that I've been watching. They have not, until now. And that's why just individually in this, as a fan, you know, we talked about the team and they can't win, losing's not an option. As a fan, I can't even process them losing this. I can't. Not having been there, having been there twice and losing, and now with the possibility of, and the thought of losing another one, nope. Not happening. Can't do it. Can't go 0-3. You know, Stewart has seen the championships. Beningo has seen the championships. There are plenty of people in our audience that have seen them. So you lose a couple of finals, but you can say, hey, I'm 2-2, or whatever the case may be. I'm 0-2. There's plenty of people out there that are 0-2. And the last thing in the world that you want to deal with is 0-3, especially with the way sports is, where nothing is promised, nothing is guaranteed. This could be it. This could be the last chance. This Knick team, this could be their window, and then they can go back into the abyss. I don't expect the abyss, but it's obviously very difficult to win a championship. How many? Oh, the Joker. He's going to win a bunch of titles. Really? Wait, that hasn't happened. Oh, the Celtics. They're going to win a bunch. Really? Oh, the Thunder. They're going to win a bunch. Who knows? Even the Spurs, who I think are going to win a bunch. You never know what could happen. You have a plan and sports says, let me step in here and I'm going to take over because I have a different plan. But when you get this close and you have a team like the Knicks that are playing better than anybody in the playoffs, and you have that type of experience that they have, and you have that type of talent, and you have that type of momentum, and you have this type of depth, and you are, I'm going to say, fully healthy, because Mitchell Robinson has a broken pinky, which you tape up, you go to work, you can still block shots, you can still play defense, it'll probably help his free throw shooting. And yeah, it might hurt when he gets a lob and dunks it. You know what? He'll have plenty of time to ease the pain when he's holding the Larry O'Brien trophy. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. The Mets won again, and they've been doing a lot of winning as of late as they finished off a month of May with a 16-12 record, which I told you at the end of April, hey, it was a bad April, not going to sugarcoat it, not going to put lipstick on the pig, but you know what? Doesn't mean you're going to have a bad May. And it got off to a great start, kind of in the middle, hit a rough patch, but the Mets ended it strong, and they ended it with a winning month overall. And now they go back to the road, and just like I said at the end of April, when I said let's have a good May, let's have a good June. Not going to be easy. Obviously, the schedule stiffens up, but I like the way this team is playing. I like the way they played overall in the month of May. And you know what? They have been through so much this year. And I think it has brought them a lot closer. Like, I think the unity of this team right now, especially because they brought up Ewing, they brought up Bench. Soto has been absolutely on fire. He's got a smile ear to ear. This team has life. And they have some momentum. And I've been talking about this long winning streak all year long. Get on that 6-7-8-8, chip away, and then get that 8-game winning streak. And then all of a sudden, you're right around 500, and then you know what? Roll your sleeves up, and we got a season. With months left to go. Well, they're halfway to that winning streak that I've been talking about, because they got four now in their pocket. Seattle's playing better baseball, but overall, Seattle's been a disappointment so far this season. They're a game or two over 500. They're beatable. Go there and beat them. And keep this going. And all of a sudden, much like the Knicks, you get red hot, you start to feel it, you get that wave, you just ride all that stuff. The Mets could be in that same boat in terms of a winning streak here. And even if they had a couple more wins right now, everybody would be singing a different tune. That's how razor thin the margins are. Now, we'll get into the Mets and Yankees a little bit more here next hour, and Giants in the final hour with Odell Beckham Jr. set for another workout with the Giants later on today. But the Knicks are the main conversation. But all those topics are on the table phone call-wise, but Knicks, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call to join the conversation. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.